quick record.
Next is the review of the minutes from January 31st, 2023. It's been a while.
Record on the computer. I'll just go up to record on this computer.
This one right here?
Up, right.
Recording in progress.
Any questions, changes?
Make a motion that we approve the minutes as presented. Second.
Commissioner Seitz made a motion to approve. Commissioner Smith to second. And all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Minutes. Finalized. Okay. You ready, Liz?
Sure.
Okay.
Did you all meet each other? This is the first time
we've been in person all together. So I'm Stacy Ekstrom, the chair.
And you live in?
I live in IO.
Okay, perfect.
So I guess we'll start with you, Liz, and then go back.
I'm Elizabeth Peterson, and I live in IO.
Mary Killian from Boardman.
Wayne Seitz from Lexington.
Charles Smith from Boardman.
Charlene Cooley from Irrigan.
Stan Anderson from Irrigan.
Excellent. John Kilkenny's on Zoom from Hepner, and Brian we may see at some point too. Thompson is from Hepner. So I think we're good to start. Good evening. My name is Stacy Ekstrom, Chair of the Morrill County Planning Commission. I'll be presiding over tonight's meeting. Persons who wish to provide testimony may do so orally or in writing. Testimony and evidence must be directed toward the applicable. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision makers and parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes an appeal to the Board of Commissioners on that rule. Please sign the sheet in the back of the room and make a note in the chat if participating in Zoom if you'd like to be present testimony. Please speak only when identified by the chair and begin by giving your name and address. If you have exhibits for our consideration, please provide a copy to the planning staff. If you would like to request the commission hold open the record or continue the hearing, you must make that request before the public portion of the hearing is closed. This concludes the introduction. Our first agenda item first is hearing subdivision SD-N226-23. Albert and Barbara Phillips, applicant and owners, and I believe Stephanie is doing this one.
Yes, thank you. So subdivision request SDN-226-23 is a request that's been made by Albert and Barbara Phillips to subdivide an approximate 18.63-acre parcel and create 7 parcels. The property is west of Irrigan near the intersection of Columbia Lane and West 6th Road and is zoned rural residential with a 2-acre minimum lot size. It is located outside of the Irrigan city urban growth boundary, and the current use of the property is residential and agricultural use. So Stephen pulled up our vicinity map there. And as you'll notice on the west side of the property, there is a structure that is currently a shop, and they do have an existing approval for a dwelling, though it's not constructed yet. For those of you who haven't been part of a subdivision previous to this, we do require a subdivision review committee, and that subdivision review committee was held on March 20th, 2023. And the first couple of pages kind of go over the criteria that are addressed in the subdivision review committee and some of the issues that came up during that. The applicant is required to provide both a preliminary and final subdivision plat, and that's listed as a condition of approval. One of the things that came up during that is water supply. Water will be supplied by individual wells. And irrigation water, this property is served by West Extension Irrigation District, and the applicant is currently working with West Extension Coordinating Service to each of the lots. The property is within the Lower Umatilla Basin Groundwater Management Area, also known as the Lobguama, and it is subject to groundwater quality issues, especially high nitrate concentrations. It is recommended that the applicant and future owners have their domestic wells tested annually for nitrate and nitrite levels. Later on, I will have information that was submitted part of public comment related to that as well. I believe Michaela included it in the packets that are on your table. Each property is proposed to be served by individual septics, and septics and drain fields will be installed in accordance with Umatilla County Environmental Health approvals. And there was concern expressed by those in attendance at the Subdivision Review Committee about adding additional nitrate load of 7 new septic systems and that what that would generate. The applicant has received approval for the one septic system there for the dwelling that is already there. It is recommended and listed as a condition of approval that the applicant have each undeveloped lot have site suitability prior to signing the final subdivision plat. Access to either to these lots will be either off of Columbia Lane or via the proposed internal roadway off of Columbia Lane. You will notice on the tentative plat that they proposed it as an easement. We'll address access a little bit later. And that access would provide 4 lots access, and the other 3 would be directly off of Columbia. The surrounding properties are primarily residential, and the properties to the north and the west are mostly 1 to 5 acre lots. The properties to the south are mostly 1 acre lots, and the property to the east is a larger lot that has an existing developed manufactured home park. To the south, all of the lots are 1 acre. Most of them are bare. There are several that are developed. The ones to the north and the west are already developed for residential use. The applicant did state that deed restrictions and protective covenants have been considered, and they may be created in the future separate from this application. It is, however, listed that the applicant submit and record an agreement for road maintenance and repairs of the internal road prior to filing the subdivision plat. It is also listed as one of the requirements that the applicant provide proof of title or contract interest to the property as required within our ordinance, and that would be prior to filing the final subdivision plat. As I stated before, the development in the vicinity tends to be 1 to 5 acres in size, and it is predominantly residential. Down the road, there is a single parcel that is rural light industrial, but that is that's the only one. Utilities in the area include West Extension Irrigation District, Umatilla Electric, and then telephone and internet providers. We did have some participate in the Subdivision Review Committee. Each of them indicated that services are available and that some easements may be required, and the applicant is working with them through that. It is listed as a condition of approval that letters be provided prior to the signing of the final subdivision plat that they will be able to have service from each of them. The property is within the Irrigan Rural Fire Protection District, and it is also recommended and listed as a condition of approval that the applicant provide a letter from the district that states that it meets the subdivision requirements for fire safety and protection. Part of that would be showing that they have enough area adequate for turnaround on that roadway, the internal roadway. That internal roadway, the applicant shall work with Morrill County Public Works and receive design and construction approval. They should also receive any required access and approach permits. And that they will install the signage as required. That is listed as a subsequent condition of approval. So it would be after signing the plat before development permits are issued. The transportation system plan does require that a subdivision have legal access via a right-of-way for 4 or more lots. So this is where I was talking about that easement as proposed. The applicant did work with us before this The one thing that we came across in the review of this is that lots 5 and 6 have frontage on both Columbia and that internal roadway. And because Columbia is a major collector, that internal easement would need to be a dedicated 60-foot right-of-way so the applicant can obtain access off of the roadway with the lower road classification. Because of that, there would be 40, we call it ADT, average daily trips, which is equivalent to 10 per lot. And anything more than 30 does require that dedicated 60-foot right-of-way. So for those that are following along, I am on page 11 of the packet. The final road name of the road will need to be approved by the planning department prior to filing the final subdivision plat to make sure that it's consistent with road naming conventions in Morrill County and does not conflict with any other road names. Subsequent to this development, condition of approval, the applicant and any subsequent landowners shall obtain any necessary zoning and building permits. So pages 12, 13, and 14 are all related to the design standard of the streets. Much of it is not applicable because it is really a pretty small development compared to a lot of these standards. However, on page 15, it does address where Columbia Lane is a major collector and there is a proposed internal roadway. It is not within the influence of a highway interchange or adopted interchange area management area, and the applicant is required to obtain appropriate access permits from Morrill County Public Works. And I think that pretty much addresses it. On pages 20 and 21, you will see the precedent and subsequent conditions of approval that are recommended. The precedent conditions would have to be completed before filing the final plat. Subsequent would be afterwards before development permits are issued. I'm enclosed with the preliminary findings. I have included the vicinity map and the 10-day plan that was provided at the time of application. And after providing notice to agencies and adjoining property owners, we did receive a couple of comments that I would like to be added into the record. The first one here is from the City of Irrigan. The City of Irrigan did send a letter that all of you should have received Monday morning. And along with that letter, there was also some supplementary information that he references, the City Manager of Irrigan references in the letter. This letter, he does address nitrates, and I think I'll let Tamara talk a little bit about the study that he talks about here because she's a little bit more knowledgeable about that.
Sure. Before we go on, could the commission add those two exhibits to the record? So both the letter and the attachments from the City of Irrigan and the letter from West Extension?
Yes.
Correct.
Please add those to the record.
So all you have to do is make a motion and then a second, and we can do it by consent.
Okay. Does someone make a motion to add the City of Irrigan and the additional forms that we received
and the
West
letter.
Extension.
Yes.
I would move that we add these two documents to this.
Seconded.
Okay. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed.
Great. Thank you. So I will just summarize the letter from the City of Irrigan. They raise concern about the minimum lot size that we have and propose that the Planning Commission consider a larger lot size. They reference a study that was conducted many years ago. In 2002, a fellow by the name of Kurt Black from the Environmental Protection Agency, and the purpose of his study was to look at what the lot size the recommended lot size to provide for adequate uptake of any nitrate loading, and he came up with a really large lot size. This was shared with the Planning Commission a number of years ago, and at that time, the county did not change the minimum lot size. So it's good information, no challenge to his study, but for the record, the lot size is the 2-acre lot size. The city also suggests that the Planning Commission impose a condition of approval that requires an alternative septic system. The county doesn't have any direct standards for septic systems. The county contracts with Umatilla County Environmental Health, and they do site suitability for each parcel and have a set of standards. We can't shift and change standards mid-process, nor could we shift and change a minimum lot size. So the landowners have a property right to develop that property. As Stephanie just outlined, it's staff's opinion that they meet all of those criteria. And I think that's all I think we need to say about those, do you think?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I skipped one part.
Oh.
I just need to make sure there are any conflicts or abstentions.
Oh.
I apologize, that was step one. Okay, not hearing any. We invite the applicant proponent to present any testimony and evidence on this.
What was that again?
The applicant to present any testimony, any evidence.
Well, our only concern is...
Wait, one moment. You have to name address.
Oh, my name is Brent Redfield, 74959 Brace Road. We're in a lot...
North.
Right?
He's not that. He's in
the... Across from a lot four there.
Or you're going to build...
Our well is only... What,
12
feet from the fence?
Not even there.
Wait. Okay, wait. So, one moment. It's for the applicant. I apologize.
Okay.
No. Okay.
All right.
You have, there's a time.
Okay.
There's just an order.
Sorry.
Yeah, nope. That's...
I certainly can.
So I'm Barbara Phillips, and this is my husband, Al Phillips, and we are the applicants for the property. We purchased the property here a few months ago. Originally, we had proposed, you know, we thought about doing smaller lots. We have increased those lots to a minimum of, I think the smallest one is 2.5 acres. We are working very diligently on conforming to all the Umatilla County standards that are required to develop this property, including the septic with Umatilla Health Department. Any placement of wells will be well within the standards as far as requirements from the Oregon State. We will be, you know, doing the internal road. We've been asked to do minimal pavement. We're actually increasing that, trying to make it a nice subdivision. We will follow anything with West Extension Irrigation District. We've been talking with Bev Bridgewater at length and making sure that all lots are served with irrigation to put minimal use on the wells. Anything you would like to add?
Wherever the test holes dug, and they've been inspected already, and they're going to go through the process of, you know, whatever you call it.
We're trying to make it a nice subdivision. We're hoping to put, you know, planning on putting covenants on it. Nothing against manufactured homes. We've put them in as a developer ourselves for the last 25 years, but we plan on putting CCNRs on it for site-built homes that will have garages, so we're hoping it'll be a nice, you know, opportunity for people to get out into some acreage and get out of a little subdivision. And we're trying to make it nice and conform to, you know, all the Umatilla County standards and state standards. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask. We do have our septic person here that has helped us through the process of the test holes and placement to ensure that they're in the right location. And we'll also meet the standards. Our well driller is also here, as well as our engineer, who has helped develop it to, you know, make sure that it suffices any questions that could be answered. So feel free to ask. We've got some representation to help you out.
Does the commissioner staff have any questions?
Can I just add, Stephanie and I had talked about proposing an extra condition where we asked the developer to hand out what we call a new homeowner packet, and we're updating those packets so that it includes water quality and water quantity information. that way the if it's somebody new to the area and they're not familiar with what an exempt well means and what your responsibility is to maintain an exempt well, which means you're exempt from water law, you have a right to have your well there. I'm sure I'm oversimplifying that. you do have to get a start card and go through a certified well driller to have it. And then, but it's also you as the homeowner, your responsibility to maintain that well. And the same is also true about the septic system. So I think everybody knows we have some nitrate contamination in the area, but this new homeowner's packet would have some good information about nitrate contamination and what to do if you have a if your well tests high with nitrate. So we would just propose to add that as a condition of approval that they notify the the property buyers to come in and get the packet. We always routinely hand it out. Maybe we forget once in a while, but we think that was a good balance to address the city of Irrigan's concerns as well as just good information to hand out to landowners.
Tamara, it's John. So is that something that, that we could make changes to always do if it's in this area in the future, or is this just something that we can do conditionally on this application?
So, Chair, I think Commissioner Kilkenny, we do that regularly. I just think it was a way for us to address in this, if we just make it a condition of approval that, you know, you, the developer, hand out a packet of information from the county, it shows that we've addressed the concerns of the city in terms of the water quality and quantity. But we do. We hand out that information.
Okay.
Ron McInnes, I'm the engineer and the surveyor. I may make note that since Tamara followed up on wells, the wells could be domestic only. There's existing water rights there from West Extension, and those would remain in place at least for the portions that are irrigatable under the state laws. And it, also because of the condition of making the access road and the cul-de-sac a dedication, it would modify the acreages slightly on those connecting lots in the, on the final plat.
Because it's a right-of-way rather than an easement?
That's a right-of-way, and they would not be included in it.
They'll still, each of those lots will exceed the 2 acres. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any additional on applicant or proponent?
Yeah, I'm on Brake Lane, right behind there. They were talking about putting irrigation water in there, and there's an irrigation line that goes to the circle. Does that mean there's going to be an easement along that north or not?
No.
There will not be an easement.
That's all going to be.
That answered one question.
That was a good question.
Yeah, that's all going to be pressurized by the irrigation. By the district from Columbia Lane.
Okay. Very good. And it'll go down the cul-de-sac.
All right.
You won't have any live lines on the north side of that. The circle's coming out.
That's one we win.
So we'll move. I think we're done with that portion of it. Anybody opponents to testify or present evidence?
Okay, that be us now?
Well, I don't know what you're... Because there's a neutral part, too, so I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm Grant Bradfield from Grace Road, and like I said, our well is really close to that fence, so with that this sand and the slope of that hill, I'm a little concerned about septic.
And we want to know about the hill. Coming down?
Technically, according to the Department of Health standards, a drain field can't be within 100 feet of any well.
I understand that, but this sand is worse than
anything.
That's the standard.
Are you, which lot are you north of? Are you east?
We would be
the
lot north
the
of lot.
To do north
of
north.
You're east
a little bit north, but then it gets kind of great.
And the hill is right on
our well is right there, and the hill, the slope of that hill is coming right at our well. And, you know.
If you're going to leave the hill up, that'd be good.
Thank you.
Are you going to level out that hill?
We're going to level out some of it.
Okay.
Does the deer come in there too?
The main reason we bought the place was the privacy in that backyard, and what house on top of that bump is going to kind of take the privacy out of that backyard.
I wanted to be on the bump, but he wouldn't agree with it.
Good man, good man.
Okay, so.
We like that answer.
You have the to rebuttal back, but if we need to have discussed that amongst yourself on what I mean.
Wait, so one second. I think Stacy's brand new at chairing, so if you could, we're trying to coach her along. So when you speak, if you don't mind coming up to the table, it's great you're all collegial, but if we get too informal, then it gets chaotic and we can't keep a good record of it.
Well,
and
not
then
the answer so far.
I know, it's really great. So I don't want to discourage that collegiality, but if you can come up, then we have it in the record. And then the next item of business will be have neutral testimony, testimony from agencies, and then your final rebuttal. And then y'all can talk about it afterwards when you leave, up till midnight if you like. No. Thank you.
So I think we're done on that.
So is there anybody else in favor?
Is there anybody a favor or opposed that any interested parties, agencies that have neutral testimony?
Just one second. Our Public Works Director, Eric Imes, is on. Eric, did you have any comment?
Yeah, I've been listening. I don't necessarily have a comment for this group. I'd like to talk to the developers about the cul-de-sac and maybe consider a hammerhead instead. And just wanted to make sure that you talk about the packet for the homeowners and CCNRs, and just making sure that the homeowners understand that they're responsible for the maintenance through the easement.
Okay. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, but as far as the design on the road, I can discuss that with the developers later. I had another idea that might save money and be easier for them. But if they're sold on the cul-de-sac, that's fine. The maintenance is going to be up to the homeowners anyway. I just had another idea that we can discuss later. But as far as maintenance, I would sure love that to be added to the homeowner packet and CCNRs.
Okay, and we have a request on Zoom of Carla McLean.
Thanks. Carla McLean Consulting, West 70 Van Buren Drive, Umatilla, Oregon. And I'm testifying tonight on behalf of the city of Irrigan. We just want to reiterate our concern. Again, Morrill County declared an emergency last year about nitrate in groundwater and in drinking water. The Love Guama addresses nitrate in groundwater. With seven wells, that will be seven people drawing from an area that could have potential high nitrates in it, and seven septic systems installed in a traditional way with a drain field are seven contributors to the Love Guama. So based on the emergency declaration that was done, and I realize that it expired the end of the year, but nonetheless, the county is still in recovery mode from that. We just want to raise that concern, and I think a request for drain fields that are at a minimum sand filters, and I understand there's an initial cost to that, but if we're going to protect groundwater, we have to start somewhere at some point in time. So the city would like you to consider that. The study, well, I understand neither county, when the study was done, did anything with it, because there are concerns about addressing the issues around what are minimum lot sizes, what the takings issues could be around that. I understand there's concerns with that, but I think the Planning Commission should give serious consideration to balancing those allowances with protection of groundwater. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Does the Commission have any additional questions after comments?
I think he does.
Rebuttal opportunity. Yeah.
So now rebuttal. Now you have a chance to, if you have any present rebuttal or final comments. Mm-hmm.
I believe.
And they can bring their team up, their development team, sure.
Yeah, okay. I'm Brandon Brown. I'm a local water well contractor. And with my experience with drilling in this area, by the time you get down to 6 to 12 feet, you're starting to get into gravels. These are fairly packed, tightly packed gravels. Once you get down a little bit farther, you're going to get into cemented gravels, which are super tight. And as far as by the people that regulate me with Water Resources Department, it's not considered a confining layer. And I wouldn't consider it that either. However, all the water is alluvial, meaning sand and gravels above the basalts. And it's directly connected through to the river. It's also flowing on a gradient with the river. So whenever we're drilling these wells, we'll get around the 40-foot mark, and we won't have any water. And then we stop, we weld on another piece of pipe, drive that down to the another 20 feet, so then we're at 60. Then we're not noticing hardly any water at all. Well, in the time that it takes to add on the next piece of pipe and weld it on, then it builds back up. Because most of your static water levels in that area are around 30 feet, 30 to 35 or so. So that the cemented gravels are actually holding down the water. But once we poke a hole through it, it brings that water in inside up through the pipe. So that's a lot like your pumping level. And then the biggest thing with the nitrates is they'll essentially float on top, and as long as they're flowing on a good gradient, and they're not flowing on the same gradient as the river, because it's cubic feet per minute by the hundreds of thousands, but you know, and realistically they're only flowing you know, feet a year in comparison. You will notice whenever, like, even the John Day Dam starts dumping more and the water level goes down, your static level will go down, but just not as fast. But the good thing about the tightly compacted cemented gravels is that it's a really good filtering program too. And you know, if you have a bucket of sand or something and you dump water into it, you'll find that you'll end up with what looks like a cone shape where it goes down, because it does that. The water that comes in, whether it's rain or if it's out of your drain field or anything, it's not going to actually flow towards any direction. It's going to go down, because it's directed by gravity just like everything else, and then it will filter down through there. As far as the state of emergency with anything in Morrill County, everything's west of us. With Port of Morrill, obviously, and agricultural, and I don't want to get into it with those guys, but it's basically fertilizer, all of that, and you're essentially getting rid of a circle right now that may or may not have been not necessarily been managed improperly or anything, but it's the amount of nitrates that can go onto a crop are not near the amount, are way more than the amount than will come in with the drain fields, and Brady can get in on that point of it. But as far as the high nitrate wells, I'm not finding it, and generally, not generally, always. We'll go down, hit the water, just because you hit it at 60 feet, you go down through, and we'll end up with 80 footers in there. Get out closer to the river, you'll get through that layer a little bit sooner, and they're actually a little bit shallower as you get closer to the river out there, because that sand and the cemented gravels, because after you get through the cemented gravels, it will actually the gravels will open up. And then let the water flow, as long as the wells are properly constructed, they've got good seals on top. We work well with all of the septic drain field guys to where we're making sure that we're far enough away, and it there's so much water because you're literally dealing with the river it's not like you're not going, it's not going to be a quantity problem, and it's currently in the area that this project is going in, it's not a quality problem either. So.
Wait, what?
Glenda and I were living at the park house. The government would send somebody once a month down there, and they were checking the water for the radioactivity in it. I asked them about that. They said, well, I wouldn't eat too many fish out of there, but is this going to affect the wells?
As far as the river goes versus that there again, it goes, as far as that goes, there again, the sand and gravels keep it fairly well filtered as far as the water that goes inland.
I got worried about it kept coming once a month down there, and I asked that gal.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I've never, it's not, it's directly connected to the river. It's not, you're not drinking river water at that point. Right, and there again, the nitrates, they'll essentially flow on top. Well, where it can be a problem is in the stagnant alluvial aquifer, like out off a diagonal. The nitrates are going up and up and up on all of the shallower wells around there. The way that had been traditionally recharged was, well, back in the 60s, and this is, stories from my dad, obviously, and my granddad, that were, we've been drilling in the area since 1946, my family has, but they started putting up the concrete panels on the ditches in, like, the 1960s, and then in the 1980s, they started cementing the seams up in between the concrete panels. And then that aquifer out there has slowly been going down to the point where, and we used to have a lot of, I grew up out there, we used to have a lot of flood irrigation, which would recharge, and still yet, there was a lot of movement, and also people were still irrigating tremendously out of that groundwater area. But as they've sealed everything up, there's no more flood irrigation, or if there is, there's minimal. They put everything in pipes instead of dirt ditches and everything, so it's not getting recharged. So whatever water's left in there, it's great if you still have sand point out there because you can irrigate your yard with it. The nitrates are going to make your grass green. But as far as that goes, we're replacing or deepening wells out there, and do a dozen of them a year. But that's getting to where the nitrates are just sinking down because it's not really flowing on a gradient. It's that water's trapped. Where this water is not trapped, it's constantly moving, and as it's moving, it's getting filtered through the sand and gravels. So, it's a completely different program. And no, you're not putting a straw. You're not putting a straw in the middle of the Columbia because I wouldn't suggest that either.
Well, just to clarify, though, then you're saying that you would not expect there to be nitrate issues with these wells? Is that what you're saying?
Significantly less than anything that they've considered a problem with the county as far as putting the county with the state of emergency or whatever they called it. Most of that, well, all of that was directed right around the west of us towards Puerto Moro. And with that water going on a gradient, that water's moving on the same gradient as the river. We're upriver.
All right. At this time, are you guys good with your...
Do you want to say anything about the sand filters compared to the standard system? Just kind of
updating. Brady Ratkowski, 30178 King Lane, Hermiston, Oregon. And
I've built septic systems in Morrow County, Umatilla County, and Gillum County since 1997. The city of Irrigan's concerns are valid concerns with this nitrate thing. The problem is the DEQ rules are what we're going by, and the DEQ's rules do not require a sand filter or any kind of an alternate treatment technology. Now, we're still waiting for those reports to come back on the site evaluations, but that area is set up really nicely for standard treatment. We've got nice slopes, deep soils, and by the DEQ standard, very deep groundwater. 40 or 50 feet to the first water is really deep. The rules start requiring higher standards of treatment when we're seeing water at 6 or 8 feet, or lot sizes below 1 acre. So when we exceed these septic systems for a four-bedroom house, would be sized at 450 gallons per day. That's a peak flow number. We expect to see more like 200 gallons a day coming from those septic systems. But when we exceed 450 gallons per acre per day in rapidly draining soils, that's when the rules shift to the higher standard of treatment. And these lots, the smallest lot was 2.5 times what DEQ would require for a higher standard of treatment. The one thing that's a blessing to this area is the sands and gravels are Missoula flood deposits. So flood deposited gravels and cobbles and sand, blue sands we call it. Above that is all wind deposited soils, and they're high in organic matter and finer soils, and they do a lot better job at treating the wastewater. So any of these new septic systems will be put in fairly shallow. We want to stay closer to the atmosphere where we have more oxygen for the good bacteria to thrive. And that with those gentle slopes that each of those lots have, that really makes it easy for me to build a properly sized and fairly shallow septic system. So we want to maximize the distance between the bottom of that leach line and our water table to maximize the filtration that happens there. So that's the plan. And as far as well setbacks and that, yeah, the 100-foot, Mr. McKinnis is correct, 100-foot is a setback. And I will be interested to know where everybody's well is. And then I'll coordinate with Brandon, too, with his new wells. And his wells will meet the 100-foot setback to any neighboring septic systems, too.
I have a question. Go ahead. Doesn't quite a bit of the water from your drain field, doesn't it evaporate? Doesn't it go up?
Yeah, and that's another reason we keep them shallow. We want to stay within the root, what we call the root zone, and just either, whether it's pasture or dry land grass or whatever that's over it, the closer the surface, the better. We can pull more water to the surface. The sand, it doesn't have a lot of capillary action, which in the southern Morrow County, there's a lot of finer textured soils that have real good capillary action. So that's where they'll get a by, like in Ione, we can have a quarter acre lot or smaller, and we can get rid of 450 gallons a day with no problem. And you would think the slower draining soils couldn't take the water, but they can because of the capillary action of the soil, which the sand doesn't have. And another reason why we try to keep them shallow for proper treatment.
Okay, thank you.
Do I ask about keeping it open? Oh, another thing. On this sand filter thing, generally we're talking on a standard gravity system, concrete tank and gravel and pipe drain field stuff. Currently, we're going to be a little under $10,000 plus some permit fees. But to just say, hey, let's require sand filters, AATTs, sand filters, bottomless sand filters are in the neighborhood of $30,000 now. And some of these AATTs, I did a little work on pricing those out for the Umatilla County Health Department. Wants to know, you know, what we're looking at. And they were about $6,000 a house more to go the ATT route. And the thing that isn't talked about is the maintenance on these, even the sand filters. But these ATTs, oftentimes it's the treatment level, level two standard, would have an ultraviolet light in there, that those things are prone to burn out. And so they burn out so often that up in Union County, they've got a lot of poor soils up there that we don't have here, and water.
everybody wants to live near the river. But those UV lights are such a pain in the butt that the homeowners and contractors up there are actually going into the control panels and programming those lights to turn off. And so there's not, ultimately, if something's a big enough problem, people aren't going to do it. And we've seen that anyway in that county. So it's, we're talking a huge increase in development costs, but maintenance that the new owners will have to deal with for a long time to come. And annual reporting to the DEQ that if it's $60 now, in 20 years it's going to be $600 if you know, the past has taught us anything about these fees. So, thank you.
Thank you. At this time, would anyone like to continue the hearing or hold the record open?